Morning, LifePoint. Hope everyone is doing well. I see you got in your boats and got to church this morning, so that's awesome. So thank you all for being here. Hope everyone had a great Christmas. And as I always say, I hope it was low drama. It's impossible for holidays to hit and there not to be any. So hopefully it was low and that you had a great time with friends and family and celebrating the birth of Jesus. And now that's kind of in the rear view and we are moving into 2020. How crazy does that sound? Does that like freak anyone else out other than me? I mean, it's just absolutely wild to think about the fact that it is 2020. Like, I'm struggling, y'all. I don't do well with getting older, and it's hitting me hard right now. So, but it's exciting to be moving into a new year. It's always there's this excitement, right? There's this, you hear New Year's resolutions over and over and over again. You know, people talking about them, what they're going to be. You know, they typically last a month. You know, and then they're done. Not that they completed it, they're over it. But there's just something about the new year that just creates this hope, this optimism that we can make some serious changes in our life. Like, how many of you all would be honest and say that there's at least one thing in your life right now that you feel that you need to change, tweak, improve upon, grow a little bit more? Right. We all do. Hopefully, my daughter will improve in not being on her cell phone in the middle of church, right? Or she gets embarrassed, right? That's her goal for 2020. Sorry, babe, love you. But I'll hear about that one later. But the new year, it's like this mental reboot, right? It's this opportunity for us to grow, to be different, to make those changes. Maybe for some of you all, you know, the most iconic one that you hear all the time is that I want to be healthier, right? I want to lose some weight, or I want to get jacked and get ripped, you know, I want to look like D, you know, I want to be big, you know. A buddy of mine he owns Next Level Fitness out on Dixie Highway, and he's already been throwing out all the memes about, you know, he's mad because the benches are going to be full, you know, all January long, but it'll be okay because February it'll be all right because it'll be back to normal. But you know, everyone wants it. So maybe that's for you. Maybe you want to be healthier. You want to eat healthier. Make better choices, you know, with how you take care of yourself, or maybe just actually take care of yourself. Maybe for you, it's you want to improve spiritually, right? You want to connect more with Jesus, and you want to grow more in your relationship with Him. Or maybe you want to connect more here at LifePoint. You want to begin to serve, or you want to be more faithful and more consistent. Maybe it's that you want to begin giving. Maybe it's for you, it's your relationships in your life. You need to improve upon those relationships with your kids, or with your parents, or with a friend that you've kind of been beefing with for years, and really it's over something petty that doesn't matter, and you're like, man, 2020 is going to be the year that I get my relationships back in check. Or maybe it's that in 2020 you're going to be more fiscally responsible, right? You're going to set up that budget finally, or you're actually going to like stick to that budget that you've set up a billion times, or you're going to start saving or investing or whatever it may be, but you have all these thoughts and these ideas that you want to improve upon in 2020. Maybe it's really big. Maybe it's that you're finally going to work to kick that habit, right? That destructive habit, whatever it may be, or addiction, so that you can begin to move forward. You can eliminate that from your life. Begin to take those steps. And I pray that while the new year sets that up for us, that you would actually be consistent with that, and that you would really be able to make some of those changes and improvements that you're seeking, that you're longing to make, that you truly want to make. But like I said, normally they're done by February. I haven't looked at the statistics recently, but I know it's something like 70 or 80% of them done by February. People have quit them. And one of the reasons is because we get frustrated. It's not fast enough. It's not that immediate gratification. And it's a lot of times because we go into this new thing that we want to change with a flawed perspective. See, it may be something that we want to do for ourselves that we know we need to improve upon. We know that we need to grow. We know we need to connect more with Jesus and be closer with Him. Or we need to be healthier. Or we need to be better with our money. But then then we start to compare ourselves with everyone else. We begin to find that person that's better than us in that specific area, and we look at them as the gold standard, and we see that they're doing so great with it, and we're not. And so we get frustrated, and we get overwhelmed, and we get intimidated, and then we quit. We start to think, man, what are all these major, major changes I'm going to have to make to be them? To look as good as they do, to be in as good of shape as they are, or to have the financial resources and margin that they have, or to have that relationship with God like they have. Like, I'm going to have to do so much. And then we look at this from this huge perspective of, man, there's so much that has to change, and then we get overwhelmed and we quit. It's a flawed perspective. It's a toxic perspective. And if you found yourself feeling that way, one, you're not alone. We all do it. It's part of our culture today. It's just in our face all the time. And it's so challenging to work through. But if that's you, it's okay because it's not really the case. That's not really how it works. It's not always these big life changes that have to be made. Yet, a lot of times, it's just a small tweak or two that we have to make. And not only do we have to make it, we have to be consistent with it. And when we're consistent with that tweak, it changes the game with that small thing. If you've been to LifePoint for any length of time, for longer than a year, you've heard bits and pieces of this, and it's something that we always come back to at the first of the year. And it's because it's important. And I heard this from another pastor many, many years ago, and it just has stuck with me. And I just can't kick it because it's so true and it's so life-changing. And he said this about making these shifts and changes in life. He said, it's the small things that no one sees that result in the big things everyone wants. And I know that you all have heard that. I know you've seen this on the screen before, but we need to hear this over and over again because it is so important. It keeps us grounded, it keeps us humble, and it keeps us from getting overwhelmed. Because God doesn't want us overwhelmed. He wants us to begin to take those steps to move forward, to grow, to be closer to Him, to be connected with Him. It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big thing that everyone wants. Right? So when that person is super healthy and super fit, we want to look at them on the gram, right? And we see how strong they are or how skinny they are or whatever it might be, but we're not seeing all the little things that they're doing. We just see the result, and we get frustrated. Because again, we live in a culture where it's all about immediate gratification. I was tripping out this morning because I hit 3 red lights, and my family had to be all positive, and I was mad, and I was wanting to be mad because we were running late, and I'm hitting red lights, and they're just like, well, maybe God's keeping us, you know, safe. Sawyer, my 9-year-old, was like, God's probably trying to teach you a lesson, Dad. Thanks, buddy. Be quiet with your positivity. But it's the small things, many times, that no one sees. The results in the big things that everyone wants. Think about it like this. How many of you all think it would be a good idea for you spiritually and with your relationship with Christ, and honestly, for your life in general, to be able to read through the Bible every year? How many of y'all think that would be a positive thing? How many of you all, when you think of that, it's a little overwhelming? Yeah. It's so overwhelming to me because, one, I don't really enjoy reading. Not a lot of pastors say that. Most pastors are like, hey, check out all my books, you know, that I've read this week. I'm like, I've read like 2 this year. 2019, like literally, maybe 3, and I've listened to 1. But I don't really, reading is just not my jam. It's not what I long for. So I get overwhelmed when I think about reading the Bible, this big, thick, you know, book that is God's word that's so important, that's so complex at times. I get overwhelmed with it. I know it's a good thing. I know it's something that I need to do, something I want to do, but it's overwhelming. But in reality, it's a small thing. 15 to 20 minutes a day, you'll knock it out, no problem. It's easy. But we get overwhelmed because we think of the big picture as opposed to taking small little steps. listening to it on your drive to work and on your drive home. You would listen to the Bible probably a couple times, depending on how far away you live from work. Think about, you know, losing weight, right? You may think this is this long journey, this complicated journey, like you've got to get in the gym 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week, you know, and you've got to meal prep every Sunday, like 50 billion containers and fill, you got to buy a new fridge for all your meal prep for the week, and you got to do all the, all those things are great, but that's not necessarily 100% how it works. I had a coach in high school that was a large, large man, and he lost a lot of weight, like 100 plus pounds. And when people are like, man, what huge lifestyle changes? What did you have to do to get to lose all this weight? He was like, I just walked for a few minutes a day and started drinking only water. Simple, small things made a huge, huge difference. You want to strengthen your marriage, right? Many, all of us, we should, if we're married, we should want to continue to grow and strengthen our marriage. And you may be in a tough spot. You may be in a very dark spot in your marriage, and you want to improve that. But then it's so overwhelming because there's so much hurt in the past, and there's so much challenge. There's so many things that have happened, and trust may be have broken or whatever it may be. But again, it can be simple. Just start praying with each other. Spend time in prayer together. Like, that is a super powerful thing. And I don't mean, like, you got to get together for, like, an hour every day and, you know, completely isolate and fall on your knees and pray for an hour. Spend a few minutes every morning in prayer if you have the mornings together, sitting around drinking coffee or on the weekend. Or try to at least do it 3 or 4 times a week. Like, it is incredibly powerful and can transform your marriage or whatever relationship that is. It's a small tweak. But if we do it consistently, it can radically transform your life. I'm telling you, 2020 can be so different for you, so good for you, with just a few little small tweaks done consistently. So with that said, that all sounds great, kind of self-helpy, which, you know, is what it is. But this is rooted in Scripture. Right? If it's not rooted in Scripture, then we don't need to be talking about it here. But this is rooted in Scripture. A passage that I love to read, and it's crazy to me because, like, I've gone through this passage so many times, and I was reading it this week to start preparing for this, and I had to, like, put it away, like, just to be honest, because it was so impactful for me with where I'm at right now. I didn't even realize it, how fresh and new this was for me, and how much I needed it. And I'll explain a little bit more about that here in a second. But so we're going to check out Zechariah. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at chapter 4. We're going to read some verses from that, and then I'm going to give you an assignment that, again, if you've been here for any length of time, you already know what it is. But we're going to go through this. But first, let me give you a little context of Zechariah chapter 4. And if you remember, at this point in time, the temple had been destroyed and God's people were currently in captivity. So during this time, it was, needless to say, it was not a good time for them. It was the time where they were hopeless. There was despair. I'm sure they were angry. They were confused. They were lost. They were in captivity and the temple was gone. It was destroyed. But then in the year 538 BC, there was a decree that went out allowing those people who were in exile to return back home. So at that time, Zerubbabel led a group of people back to Israel. And in that return, there was a little bit of hope that was birthed, right? So they're getting one step forward, right? They're no longer in captivity and exile. They're now going back home to Israel. And then 18 years after that, God spoke to King Zerubbabel and told him, I'm going to give you the power. I'm going to give you the ability and the command to rebuild the temple. Right? So we're going to pick up the story here, Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 6, and we're going to kind of break this down as we go. It says, then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. We can just stop right there. I mean, that is so strong and powerful. He's basically saying, this temple is not going to be rebuilt in such a way that you're going to get credit for it. It's not going to be built by your hands, by your skills, by how slick and good you are, and how well you can build and craft and lead a team. None of that. It's going to be built through my power, by my strength. This is the same for us, right? When we need to make those lifestyle changes, we can work as hard as we want. And we might get a little bit of success, but a lot of times we always slip back into it. And it's because we're not tapping into the power of God. We're not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit and letting that lead us to being consistent and following through with those transformations. We always are trying to do it on our own. We work really hard on that, and we complicate things that aren't necessarily complicated because we're trying ourselves. When God says, you know, I got you, it's not by your strength, your abilities, your skills that this is going to happen, but it's through my power and my strength and my abilities. You have to tap into the power of God. This has been so, when I read that, like literally, that's as far as I got in this thing. I was like, I got to step away. You see, because I've been pouring everything that I have and working so hard and stressing over wanting to see LifePoint Church grow and thrive. And I could talk all day long about my abilities, that I have an MBA, whoop-de-doo, that I led a team of 100-plus people over at Your Spiritus, whatever. All of those things that I've been trying to put together, right, and trying to do, and in reality, what God has shown me over the past, actually since October, is that you're trying to do this thing without me. You're trying to force this thing to work under your skill set, under your abilities. You've been trying to figure out ways to do this or to improve this, but you're leaving me out of it. You're not trusting me. You're trusting more in some contract for a cell phone tower than you are in me. That's where I've been. That's as transparent as I can be as your pastor. And God has been slapping me in the face with it, saying, you trust your abilities, your skill set, and what you can do, and all these other things more than me. And it's been humbling. It's not fun sometimes when God shows you things, but it's exciting at the same time because it's so freeing. Because he didn't intend for us to do all this stuff to life, whatever it is that is your passion, whatever he's birthed in you, or those changes that you need to make to go to the next level. He never intended for you to carry that alone. He says, give it to me. I got you. I'll give you rest. I will lead you through this. Verse 7, it says, nothing, not even the mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. See, God birthed this in him, and it says, it's not going to be built by force or be taken by might or through your strength, but I'm going to do this through you. And because of that, nothing can stand in your way. Not even a mountain, but nothing can stand in your way because I'm leading the charge. And then it continues. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone and the temple in place, and I love it that he says when, right? Not if he sets the final stone in place. He's saying this as if it's a done deal. He says, when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it. Before the work even began, because God was leading the charge, because this was from him and his plan, it was already victorious. It was a win. It was going to happen, not if, but when, because he was going to tap into the Spirit of God. Verse 8 says, then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. He will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of Heaven's armies has sent, me. And then verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings. for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hands. It says, don't despise the small beginnings. Whenever you are trying to make improvements in your life, when you're trying to connect more with Christ, when you're trying to rebuild your relationships, when you're trying to get healthier financially, healthier spiritually, healthier physically and mentally, when you're trying to take these positive steps forward, you have to set the first stone, right? You're not going to blink your eyes and then all of a sudden the temple's rebuilt. It's one step at a time. And the beautiful thing is that it says right here, the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He doesn't necessarily rejoice to see the final project, a product, which I believe he does. But he even rejoices to see you take the first step. But many times we don't. We get frustrated at the first steps. We get frustrated because the first step wasn't the first 50 steps. We get frustrated because we start to eat healthy and we start going to the gym and we're 3 weeks down the road and we've lost 2 pounds and I don't have any more muscle. And we're sore all the time. We get frustrated. We get frustrated because we start saving money or we stop spending in certain areas and we start paying down our debt. And then we get through 6 months or a couple months and we look and it's still just a mountain. Yeah, we've chipped away at it, but it's a mountain. And we get overwhelmed. We get frustrated. We're frustrated at the small beginnings. We're frustrated because we didn't get to point, you know, Z that quick. But the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. And when we understand that, when you understand, when you're trying to make these improvements in your life that you know God is saying you need to make, and you understand that each little step that you make forward, God is smiling at you. He's cheering you on. He's in your corner. He's so pumped that you took another step. Especially when it comes to building your relationship with Him, connecting with Him, becoming more mature spiritually. But also when you're taking that first step to kicking that habit, right? Maybe it's that you need to go to a group. It's uncomfortable. It's tough to make that first step. But when you do, man, he's celebrating. Not even that. When you research that first step to find the help you need, he's pumped because that was laying the first stone. That was the small beginning. The work started. And the most importantly is that we have to do that in connection with Him. We have to let the Spirit lead us. We have to tap into Holy Spirit so that we can actually keep laying the stone after stone after stone, step by step. Because if not, we're going to consume the culture in the sense that we'll compare. We'll get going for a little while, then we take our eyes off Jesus. We start saying, I can do this on my own. And then we get on Facebook or Instagram or we see someone else out and we get frustrated because we're not where they're at. We're not as good as they are. We're not as spiritual as they are. My kids aren't as good as their kids. My relationship's not as good as theirs. My job isn't as important or as good as theirs. We start comparing, then we snowball, then we're frustrated, and then we're back at point A. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's really not that complicated. It's difficult. It's challenging. But it's not that complicated. You see, God has set within us exactly what it is that we're created to do, what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live. And the closer you are to Him and the more you seek Him, the more you're going to understand that, the more clear it's going to become, and each step is going to be laid out. And we know that with Him walking point for us, we can do it. We can accomplish it. We can make it, but we have to to do it through his strength. We have to begin to take the small steps. We can't look at the end product. We have to take the baby steps. Focus on a few things here and there. But we compare all the time. I mean, think about David and Goliath, right? Very rarely do you hear David without Goliath. So when we think about David, man, I want to be as strong as David. I mean, he was a little kid, man, and he took down a giant. Like, I want to do that. I want to be that strong. I want to have that much faith in God that when someone is talking trash about God, that I'm going to step out and I'm going to do whatever it takes. For David, it was to step up when all the armies were terrified of this dude. He's like, no, I got this, because you ain't going to talk about God like that. I'm not going to let it happen. And we're like, yeah, I want to be that way. But see, we see the end result. We don't see the fact that he was basically kind of rejected by his family because he was the youngest and he was out tending the fields, right? He was that shepherd that we talked about last week, the youngest in the family. You go and deal with that while the big people take care of business. And he was out in the fields grinding, taking care of the sheep, fighting off all the other predators. He was grinding, and we don't think about that. We just think about it. He slayed Goliath. I want to be David. But it took a lot of little things in between to get that result, right? It's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. Daniel, right? We hear about Daniel, not Henderson. Daniel's great. I'm sure we got some stories about him, but I'm talking about Daniel in the lion's den, right? If you grew up in church, you've heard that story. You probably saw it on a flannel graph board. You know, here's Daniel and there's lions and he made it through. And we want to have that faith. But see, we don't think about the fact that Daniel stopped in the middle of whatever he was doing, and he prayed 3 times a day at least. Didn't matter where he was or what he was doing. The dude prayed. He spent time with God. That's why he had the strength and the connection with God to do the things that he did, because he spent time in prayer. He made it, it was important. It was a must. It was a non-negotiable for him. But we don't think about that. We just think, Dan in the lion's den. What a stud. I want to be like that. But it's the small things that no one sees that results in the big things that everyone wants. So we've got to begin to narrow our focus. Right? We can't look at the end product. We can't look at, we know the things that we need to improve. Every single one of you, I'm sure you know at least one thing. You all raised your hand. And you know what that one thing is. That growth moment that you need to have, the thing that you need to get rid of, the thing that you need to bring in. You know what they are. But we've got to begin to take steps towards it. I mean, in a culture that says more and more and bigger, we need to stop and say, okay, I'm going to go small. I'm going to focus on just one thing at a time. And that's why each year we talk about this, we have this one word message. Sometimes working into a series, sometimes it's a standalone like this. But I want to challenge you and encourage you, if you haven't and you don't, to pick one word for 2020 that is going to be your focus throughout the entire year. Not 10. Trust me, if I sat down with my iPad and you know, started to write out, okay, what are all the things, the words that I need to work on this year, I could fill up a list. But when I do that, I get overwhelmed, right? When there's so many things to do, you don't do anything. Especially when you're a perfectionist. When you're really meticulous and OCD about things. So it's really important just to say, okay, yes, I want to improve in other areas, but what is my focus? Where am I going to hone my focus in this year? So what is that one word? And I don't want you just to pick it out of the air. I want you to pray about it. Because remember, if we're not doing this with God's and his strength and his power and his leading, we're going to fail. We're not going to succeed. So we've got to pray over that one word and to know what it is. And for a lot of us, God's already kind of been dropping that to you. So when you start to think about, okay, what one word, if I'm going to pick for 2020, what is it going to be? You already have an idea of what it is. It's going to kind of come to you. But maybe you need to spend some time in prayer because you've not really thought about it, or maybe it's because this is the first time you've heard this. Many of you all, when I say, oh, we're going to have our one word message, you know exactly what it is. And but I want to encourage you to do that because I really believe that this is life changing. It gives you focus. And not only just one word, but you're going to take that one word and you're going to pair it with one verse. So you have your one word and your one verse that connects with that word. And that is what you're going to focus on for 2020. That if you don't really make any other strides or steps in that one word, it's going to guide in all your decision making and how you interact and how you live and how you lead and what you do. And what I think is incredible about that, when you focus on that one word, all those little other areas in your life, they start to fall into play. You begin to make other little changes in other areas because you're making good decisions or you're moving in the right direction or things within you are changing or you're kicking habits and addictions, and it's because you narrowed your focus into one word. And it's powerful. Over the past several years for me, my one word has been wisdom 1 year, trust. I think it was trust for a couple years because I needed to really work on trust. Last year it was connect. Focused on connecting with the vine, connecting with God, and allowing that to lead everything. And it's been incredible to watch as I look back on the past 4 or 5 years, how God has changed my life, how he has led me through some challenging, life-changing decisions and circumstances, and how I've been able to navigate that so much better than I could have on my own. One, because I was allowing God to lead. Many of those times, I allowed him to lead and I followed him. But also because he gave me that word and I was already focused on it. And so as things come up, I was ready and I was on it. And again, I believe this dream. It's whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And I think that's going to be important for him because the way he's wired, he doesn't like to do things just because the teacher tells him to do it. If it doesn't make sense to him that why to do it, he don't want to do it. That goes all the way back to kindergarten. It's like, hey, color this sheet of paper. He's like, well, what's the point? Well, the point is you're going to have a sheet colored and it's going to look pretty and it'll be fun. I don't get it. I don't want to do it. You know, that's just how he's wired. But when he knows everything that he's got to do, he's going to focus on it and do it as if he's doing it for the Lord. That'll help him, right? That'll guide him through those things. Focus for him. For Amelia, it's anchor. Hebrews 6:19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for my soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. To be anchored. For Jen, it's courage. Joshua 1:9 is her verse. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know God is with you. You can be courageous in all things. For me, my word for this year is hope. It's hope. And my verse is Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And again, I think about how my word for last year was connect to this year. It kind of, that word and connecting with God and keeping my eyes fixed on him, understanding that no matter what, my job was to focus and connect with the true vine, to be connected to God. And if I was connected to God, everything else would fall into play. And through that, I've learned a lot about myself. God has revealed a lot of things to me about how I'm wired. And he's also shown me a lot of areas that I need to grow and improve in, and a lot of things that I need to change. And that has led directly into this word of hope. Because he showed me that I was placing my hope in so many other things other than him. Which led to frustration, anger, disappointment, confusion, hurt. But if I place my hope in him, if my hope is in the Lord, it says that I will... My strength will be renewed. I'll soar on wings like eagles. I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not be faint. So that's all I'm going to focus on. Hope. Making sure that my hope in all things is in the Lord. not anything else. Not in my abilities, not in my slick words, not in my plan A, plan B, and then my contingency plan for plan A and plan B, because that's just how my mind works. I can't place my hope in those things. Not that those things are bad, but my hope cannot be rooted in those things. My hope has to be rooted in Christ. So that's my one word. So what about you? What is your one word going to be for 2020? And what one verse are you going to pair with that? And I really want to encourage you to really put some time into this. Most importantly, put some prayer to this. Allow God to show you exactly what your one word is going to be for 2020. And then once you get that, finding the one verse can be overwhelming because, you know, again, Bible is rather large. But Google can help you with that. Once God's given you that one word, just go into Google and type, what are some Bible verses on hope? What are some Bible verses on generosity? What are some Bible verses on patience? What are some Bible verses on growth or discernment or whatever your one word is going to be? Maybe you play for the University of Louisville and your one word is free throws. I don't know if there's a verse for that. But whatever your one word is, search for that verse. You can do it on Google. And under that, you're going to find a whole bunch of verses. Then read through those verses. Don't just randomly pick one. Read through them. Spend some time on that. Sit on it. Pray on it. And I promise you, God's going to reveal that verse. When you see it, you're going to know it. And he's going to speak it to you. And then take that one word in that verse, and however you're wired, make sure it's in front of you all the time. Whether it be your backdrop on your phone, your lock screen, or whether you write it on your mirror at home, which we've done a lot, or I know Jen sometimes gets a necklace or a bracelet or something that has the word on there, or just put it in a picture frame on your nightstand, whatever you need to do, how you're wired, but make sure it's in front of you as a reminder. Because what'll happen is you'll be excited about your one word, and you'll get going with it, and then February comes, and then you've forgotten it. It's gone. It's out of sight, out of mind. But when it's a word from God, and when it's rooted in Scripture, and we are diligent, right, consistent with keeping it in front of us, praying through that one word throughout the year, and allow God to lead us with that, your life can be radically different, transformed. So I want to encourage you to join me in that. Because like I said, that God loves and celebrates to see the small things start, right? To see you take that one step. And the beautiful thing is when we're faithful with the small things, God begins to give us more. More responsibility, more opportunity, more freedom. And we see this in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, when Jesus tells the parable of the bags of gold. It says this in verse 21. It says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities." God loves to see the small things begin, to see you take step one. He celebrates that. Yes, he celebrates the end result, but I love that when he knows that this is what he has for you and this is the improvement and this is the step you need to take, he knows that you're going to complete it. It's not if, it's when. And he celebrates every step of the way. And we can actually take every single step along that way when we're connected to him, when we're rooted in his power and his Holy Spirit. So I encourage you again, pick your one word. Pray over that. If you need to take till February to figure it out, do that. This isn't a race. Take the time, spend time in prayer, seek God for your one word. Pair it with a verse and let that lead your 2020. And I also want to encourage you to share it with somebody. I'll probably have a post later this week asking you what your one word is. If you have it, great. If not, that's okay. Don't rush it. But share it with other people. Encourage each other with your one word, because we're a family. We're in this together. We've got to have each other's back. So I challenge you and encourage you, pick your one word, seek God with that, and then begin to just let that guide every single step of 2024. And I promise you, when you do that, when you look back, when we get to 2021, you're going to look back on 2020 and be like, man, that was good. I made some of those improvements. Doesn't mean it's going to be a perfect year, but it means you're going to be able to make it. You're going to be able to work through it. And not only are you going to make it, but you're going to thrive. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We're so thankful. Not only just for the opportunity to come here and worship, and not just another day of life, God, but kind of as we wrap up an entire year, a decade, we're just so thankful that we're here. We're thankful that we're together. We're thankful for the fact that you love us. That we don't have to walk this journey alone. We don't have to rely on our own power and our own strength and our own abilities, but rather we can connect with you. And we can open up our ears and our eyes and hear and see the things that you want us to hear and see, so that we can begin to do the things that you want us to do. So God, we just thank you. We thank you for the fact that you care about us, that you want to see us thrive and grow, and the fact that you want to be in relationship with us. So God, as we spend some time right now just connecting with you, I pray that you would speak to each of us. God, may we hear what it is, exactly what it is, those small beginnings for 2020 that you want us to begin to take, those small steps, those new things that you want us to step into. Reveal to us that one word. God, maybe for some people here, the first step, that first small beginning is to step into a relationship with you. That is the first step of all steps, the most important of all steps. God, so if there's someone here that needs to connect with you at that level, God, I pray that you would speak to them, and I pray that they would be responsive. And for those, God, that just need a fresh start in 2020, I pray that they would stop relying on their own power and abilities and strength, and that they would place their hope and trust in you. That they would seek you radically transform them, to guide them and lead them, what that next step is. May we be faithful to take it and to not despise it, but to celebrate it just as you do. If you're here this morning and your next step is to truly come into a relationship with Jesus, I want you to understand that is literally the most important thing. If you heard nothing else this morning, I want you to hear the fact that God loves you. He sent his son to die for you so that you could be made whole, so that that you could be in connection with him, so that he could work in and through you in all things. He did that for you. And scripture tells us that if we confess and believe, that we'll be saved. It's not super, super complicated. It's about connecting with him. It's about saying, God, I'm flawed, not perfect, and I know I need a Savior. I need hope, and I know that you are my hope. And you confess that. You can believe that God sent Jesus, his son, to die and raise again so that you could be saved. And you place your faith and trust in that. It says you'll be saved. You'll be connected to the Father forever. So if that's you, all you got to do is just talk with God and tell him those things. best believe. And if you have questions about that, I am more than happy to talk to you about it. It's not a thing to be embarrassed about. It's not an uncomfortable thing. It's where you're at. And that's what we're about at LifePoint, is no masks, no judgment. It's just wherever you're at, we're going to want to take a step forward. One step forward. And if that's your step, man, it'll be the greatest step. God will celebrate that. We will celebrate that. It'll be incredible. But whatever it is that God's speaking to you right now, the team plays, you just do business with God. Spend time with Him. Listen to Him. Let Him guide your next year.